Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. You are tuned in to Yiza Victim Stoppers Radio, listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayana Mohammed. Tonight, we will be discussing men's issues ranging from everything, baby mama drama, can't find a job because you've been incarcerated,
depression, all types of things.
And whatever your issues are, we want to talk about them tonight. Ayana, oftentimes women forget that men have emotions just like we do, and we take that for granted. So tonight, let's give the men a platform to discuss their issues, whether it's with women, on their job, whatever it is, let's give them a moment or this hour to express their feelings about their issues.
Yes, I think that a lot of times the media really only focuses on women and their problems.
All the time.
And they really don't ever know that. And let me make sure I get it correctly. The thing is that when the media focuses on women's problems, they don't understand that men have some of those same issues, like depression. Depression is something that goes
deep.
I think a lot of times in men. I think what happens to women, you see women are sad, and they're upset, and it's just like, what are they doing? So, but men have those same issues, so how do they deal with depression? How do you know when men are depressed?
I think men show depression when, you know, they show it more of a aggressive anger type thing. You know, a lot of men don't know how to express their emotions the way women do. You know, we cry. Men have, you know, been taught, you're not supposed to cry. You're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to hold it in. So a lot of them hold it in and they don't let it out the way that they should, like we do. And I tell my sons, it's okay to cry. It is okay for men to cry. It's okay for men to show their emotions. It's okay for, you know, them to express their emotions, not to hold them in, because when they hold them in, we hear things like domestic violence. We hear things like, you know, they kidnapped the kids because they're holding in all of these issues and they don't know how to release them. So as a woman with a husband and two sons, well, three sons, I want to let the world know it's okay to cry and show emotions. You're human. Let your emotions out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people women want men to show their emotions, and they don't know how to show them. They just don't know how to express that. So I think that's the struggle. They don't know how to, which is probably why they have their issues with their baby mama, not expressing how they want to deal with the kids. They maybe didn't even want to be a father and didn't know how to.
You know what? While I was looking at this, looking up this topic and trying to find some issues regarding men with being a father to children on several different with several different baby mamas, it appears that their intent was not to go into these relationships to be a baby daddy. So, what do you think about men being having all these baby mamas out here?
I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I think they sort of realize that having all those baby mamas, it's like you out there breathing in the street. You're really just out there breathing. You have all these different baby mamas. For what? It makes no sense. I don't understand.
Well, let me tell you, Terrence, a 42-year-old baby daddy with four kids with two different women, says men use sex to keep a woman around without making a real commitment. So, I don't know. Let's play a word from our sponsor real quick so we can figure this out.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.
Okay, everybody, we are back, and we have an abundance of callers. I want to hear from some men. Ayana, what do you think about the men calling in? Okay, the first caller.
Definitely have some men calling.
The last four digits of 3549. Good evening, caller. Do you have some issues you want to discuss with us tonight?
How y'all doing tonight, ladies?
Hello, we're doing fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm just not tuning in, so I really trying to catch up to speed a little bit about the topic is men have emotions and feelings.
That's right? It. Men issues.
And sometimes I think that, men really are supposed to be the strong one, but sometimes I think that a lot of people forget that we have feelings as well, even though we don't show it as much as, women may do. But at the same time, we do have feelings. And I think that's where most people, most relationships go sour because, when you start taking each other for granted in a sense, then, the man is really supposed to bow down and because that's what we were trained to do, in a sense, to give in to the woman that's more for. Whereas, just trying to make situations better. But at the end of the day, though, I think women need to understand that in order to make it work, you have to compromise a little bit and understand that men do feel hurt, bleed, cry, all of the above, So that's just my take on it.
So how do women know when you're expressing those
Say it again.
How are women going to be aware when men are expressing those feelings?
I mean, it's kind of hard to speak from a woman's point of view. But I know, speaking for myself, I'm a type of man who normally, shut down in a situation when I think it's getting out of hand or going too far. Just because I don't like the combative kind of thing, the back and forth. So to speak on a woman, just figure out how can you determine if, we feel in some type of way or anything. I think it's pretty much about the communication part.
Okay. That's what we wanted to know.
Now, caller, what, as a man, and like I said, you can relate to men issues. What are some of the issues that men have out here today in regards to just being a man? Not including, you don't have to put in the fact that you are in a relationship or you have a relationship issues. What are some of the issues that just men, and I want to say African-American men because I feel like they have the most problems and that's just me being biased. But what other issues are out here that men are going through?
I mean, I only can speak on the African-American man because that's who I am. But from my take on it is society today has put the man at the black man at the bottom of the barrel in a sense. This is my take on it. There's the white man, the white woman, the black woman, and then the black man. That's how society has created the atmosphere. Speaking on that, I mean, think about it. I think I heard a show before that y'all did about, the woman being in the house with just no man and just the kid. Well, that's how society really want it to be. You feel what I'm saying? They give the woman the assistance, and then they tell you, I'm going to pay X, Y, or Z of dollars towards your house. But guess what? That man can't come in there. And if he is in there, then I'm taking that assistance back. You see? So as a black man, we have all of this against us. We got our jobs, we got our society, and then you have the black woman who sometimes don't really respect the man because in their mind they don't think they are where they should be or what they expect of a black man, if that makes sense to you. So you have a lot of women who really, you know, thinking, okay, well, you're not where you're supposed to be, so I don't really respect you. Like, what can you do for me or what I'm going to get out of you kind of thing, you know, opposed to just going into, you know, think, okay, well, this is a human being, and just like I want to be treated, I'm going to treat this human being the same way, you know, and I think that's where we get lost at.
Okay, well, we do appreciate you calling in. Thank you for that information.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found interesting, though, from that call was how he said it, women. He put it on women. Did you notice how quickly that happened? He was saying he's putting on women on their night, letting them really be a man and do what they're supposed to do. So it happens that way. I think it's interesting, but I think we should go ahead and take another caller.
Okay, we have another caller on the line. A caller with the last four digits of 5996. Good evening, caller.
Hello, how are you?
What's your issue?
Hello, how are you? You know, it's funny. I don't really have any issues. When I think about, I listened to the last caller, and I've been listening to the show. I think it's kind of funny that people say that men don't express their emotions like women do. And to be honest with you, that's coming from a woman's perspective.
True.
When I think about a man showing his emotions, I think that if you're in a relationship with a man and you are paying mm-hmm. attention to who this man is, you know when he is expressing his emotions, even if they're in the absence of tears. So what happens is you begin to know your mate. And when you know your mate, you know when he is being emotional. Now, just because I don't show my emotions like a woman shows her emotions, because in some cases, in some relationships, when men show those type of emotions and feelings, they are targeted as being weak. And no man wants to feel weak in his own house and in his own relationship. So I think that we do show emotions. I think that the person who is in a relationship with us has to have an eye to see the emotions that we're displaying at the time.
Okay. I can see that, caller, but I have another question for you. And this is one of those, I'm going to throw it out there. Here I go. How do men truly feel about independent women?
Now, what is your definition of an independent woman? A woman. See,
no.
There are too many different definitions of what an independent woman is.
So let's go with I don't want to say the biblical definition, but the actual definition is a woman that, you know, she has her own house, she has her own car, she has a good job, and those are the women that we find that are single a lot. Why is it that being an independent woman is now viewed as almost being negative? It's not a positive look. So that's my question, is that type of independent woman, how is she viewed to men?
I think that when you talk about an independent woman having her own stuff, I think that's a woman issue and not necessarily a man issue. Most of the men that I know don't care anything about a woman being independent. Well, and I must say, I hang out with a different class of person as well. I don't think that the people that I know, they don't have a problem with a woman making more, their wives making more money than them, or they don't have a problem with meeting a woman who has her own stuff. In fact, they feel like that's a load off their back. Now, here's an interesting fact from a man's perspective. From a man's perspective, when they meet a woman like that, they feel like that woman has a chip on her shoulder. Like, I've done all of this without you.
Okay.
What can you do? So I think that candle is burning from both ends. It's the woman's expectation of a man, and then it's the man's outlook on that particular independent woman. Now, we can never lump everybody into the same boat. We can't lump all men into one boat or all independent women into a boat. Different strokes for different folks. You'll find some men that love independent women, but you'll find some independent women that don't like all men. So they think that they're on a certain status, and the man that they meet has to be on their status. No, not even on their status, above their status. So I think it works both ways.
So when you see those independent women and they say, oh, well, you know, men are intimidated by me, that's really her issue and not his issue.
I think that's part of her personality. Now, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
A woman who is independent has to build walls around herself to protect herself because there are bloodhounds out here. And what I mean by bloodhounds, there are people who would like to take advantage of people who have their own. So, and sometimes in building those walls, they don't allow good people in because they still have the wall up from the bad people who were there. Now, everybody you meet is not going to take advantage of you. But if you walk into a relationship or you walk into, sometimes you can sense it. When a woman walks in, and vice versa, when a man walks in with a chip on his shoulder or a woman with a chip on her shoulder, it doesn't matter if they're independent or broke. You can feel those things. So personality says it doesn't matter what you have. If you are a genuinely nice person, I don't want to say that because that's going to sound sexist. Anyway, I think that
now you're scared to speak up. It's the internet. Say
I was going to say, if you're genuinely a nice person, a man will date a woman who's independent. But I think sometimes we fish at the bottom of the fish pool and then wonder why there are no good men, good fish out there. You're fishing in the wrong pond. Go to a different pond.
Well, Carla, let's get off of the topic of relationships and men. In women relationships, I want to get some issues out that are out in America, like men, and I don't know if you have any experience with this or if you know anybody who's had any experience with this, but there's men out there that have been incarcerated for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They get out, they can't find a job, so now they're reverting back to their old ways when they really don't want to go back to jail, but they're in a situation where they can't provide for themselves. They can't provide for all these kids that they have with these different baby mamas. And they're feeling kind of down on their luck. So in that situation, do you have any advice for men, or do you know, have anything that you would like to speak on that topic or any other issue?
Okay, as far as the issue of a brother being incarcerated, getting out, signing it down on his luck, and then reverting back to his own behavior, I think that's an excuse because I know too many people who were incarcerated, got out, got jobs, and made a living for themselves. Here's what I believe. I believe that when you're ready to turn your life around, I believe that it has to be something internal because there's no external force that will help you turn your life around. When you get ready internally to turn your life around after incarceration, during incarceration, or before you go, I believe that there are some simple steps that a man can take to turn his life around. First step you have to do when you get out of jail is you have to stop going around those people who got you locked up in the first place.
Amen.
And you might say, well, I'm not going around those. Well, nobody got me locked up. Most of the time, when we do criminal activities, because I was a criminal at one point in my life, we are doing it with a certain group of people. So, one, you have to eliminate the old people in negative behavior. Now, once you do that, then you have to strive to be a better you. And whatever constitutes a better you, if it's going back getting your GED, if it's studying in an area, it doesn't necessarily have to be a formal education, but it could be studying in an area that you want some self-help in. And then apply for jobs. Here's the thing that happens with most people in prison, out of prison, who have never gone. In the African-American community, we say stuff like, I can't work at McDonald's. But your work history, you have no work history. So you use those mediocre jobs as stepping stones until you get something else. Now, I hate to piggyback, but it's like being in a relationship. When you didn't have a woman, no woman wanted you. But the moment you got a woman, every woman you wanted you. It's like that with a job. Once you get a job, you now have leverage to better your life. Without a job, you have no leverage to better your life. And so when they get out of prison, believe it or not, their standards are so high as if they just graduated college. So when you have high standards and low education, and then the opportunities you want are not there for you because you're not qualified, now you're back to hanging out with Pookie them. And then Pookie them is trying to convince you to do the stuff that you used to do that made you the man before you went in. But the street and the time have changed, and therefore you're trying to operate in 2017 or 1999 behavior. You're not smart enough to do it.
So do you think that society has made it hard for our men to just get better themselves with, you know, get ahead on the job and anything? I mean, is it, does society play a part in men's issues, or is it just them within their self that's making their issues what it is?
Okay, so I want to piggyback on the last talk when he talked about, I agree with him to a certain point when he said there are white men, there are white women. Then he said there are black men, women, and then black men. With the Lord, no, there are white men, there are white women, there's everybody else. Then there's a black woman, and then there's a black man. Now, I'm currently a school teacher, and when you talk about society, I find out in the African American community that the man is absent. So if the man is absent, it starts with our little boys. Our little boys are being raised by single women, and I'm not knocking the great single parent, women parents who are out there. However, they're not taught to respect the man. So therefore, when they see a man, they don't respect the man. So when they don't respect the man, society has already set up for them, because we know they're going to drop out of school. That's just a given. When you've done this a long time, a lot of them, over 50% of the African-American males drop out of school. So we know they're going to drop out of school. So the next thing out there is for them to become a criminal. So if they're going to drop out of school and then become a criminal, then the next place for them is prison. See, society is business, and business dictates that if we don't fill our prisons up with a certain population of people, then the rich then get rich and the poor, you know, will stay poor. So it is a spiral. It's cyclical.
So you're saying maybe I heard you mention about them not knowing how to be men because they're not raised by men or told how to respect men. And then the other one is education. Did I hear that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in, caller. I think we got a lot of information from these men on how men are having issues. I think it's, do we need to go to another caller?
And I was just sitting here listening to these guys speak about their issues and about women. And the caller number one was absolutely correct. And caller number two was absolutely correct. Like, we as women have no clue how men feel when they're going through something, how they feel down about they can't find a job. And how does that, you know, what do you think about that?
The caller said, first, women trying to figure out men.
Yes.
We've always had that issue of, what was it, Venus versus Mars or men versus women. So I think in essence, when you have women trying to figure out men and then you have men trying to figure out women, so I think overall it all boils down to communication and understanding what the other person is feeling.
True, but, you know, we are not mind readers. So if they don't come out like the hand gestures and the, you know, the attitude and the and the, they don't want to be bothered. Like, I can't take that and say, okay, well, I don't know what's going on with you, because I'm going to think you're just stone cold crazy. I want you to tell me, look, I got a problem with that. I have a problem with this. Or this is what happened on my day today at work. This is my issue today. Let's talk about it. Let's figure this out together.
Yeah, I understand that completely. I do. And like the caller said, a lot of times it comes from men are not really taught how to be men. So some of us women that are out here dating, we're dating the men based on an age, but not based on a mentality. Because if you weren't raised by a man, and I don't want to get into can a woman raise a man, because I think that's a topic for another show.
Yeah, I already did that, and it's a no. They can't.
But you can't tell mothers of sons that they can't raise a man. You can't not tell them that. You can tell them, but they're going to get an attitude. I know I don't say nothing to them about it because I don't have no kids. But you know, that's...
I am a mother that has raised two boys. And trust me, I did not have one single solitary clue as to what I was doing. I winged it. 25 years, I winged it with my oldest. And 60, I think I'm doing a pretty good job, but I'm teaching them how to be respectful. I'm not teaching them how to be a man per se. So I'm married. My husband, you know, he's real good at that, teaching, you know, my 16-year-old, because he's still in the house. But me, I'm just trying to teach him how to be respectful and lead a conductive life. I cannot teach this young man how to be a man because I don't have a clue how to be a man. So you speak on it.
So what you're telling me is you really can't teach. You can't teach him how to stand up in. Like, that's not something you really know how to do. And I get that. But I think for as women, what happens is, and why this communication is generally breaking down, is because you do have women raising boys, unfortunately. I mean, it, like I say, it's not the topic, but you do have them raising boys. And when you raise them up, like he said, they're dropping out of school. They're not being educated. Men are prone to be more violent, statistically saying they're prone to be more violent. And is it because they don't have men showing them how to be men? I can only teach a man or a young boy how to treat how I want to be treated, to open doors. I had my nephew for the summer, and I didn't pump gas all summer. I refuse to do it because, no, get out. You're going to learn how to use a credit card. You're going to pump that gas. I'm not taking no garbage out. There's just certain things that I'm not going to do when I have or any age of a man around. I'm not grabbing no doors. I'm not doing any of that. But I think that what happens with a lot of men is they don't know that. And I think we as women be thinking we can teach them, and we really can't. So that's why they don't know how to express their feelings, because we're looking for them to cry like we cry, and they don't know how to do that.
And see, I'm gonna go back to what you just said. I refuse to open a door. I refuse to take out trash. I refuse to pump my gas. That's being respectful. Who's to say that that's a man's job? Who's to say that? To pump gas. I'm teaching you to be respectful. If there's a woman in the car, pump her gas. You know what I'm saying? Dude, take out the trash. Who's to say what is technically a man's job and what's technically a woman's job? That's a touchy issue. I'm just going to be real. I can't teach no man how to be a man. I rely a lot on my husband. Do that. What would you do? How would you do this? I can't do it. I ain't going to lie.
Look, I'm with you. And my thing is, I'm one of those women that I want to say I'm kind of old school, and I get it from my dad. I'm not fixing nothing around the house. I'm going to call somebody in here, and I'm going to let them handle that. I'm not about to fix nothing. If I see a bug, depending on the size, I'm probably going to kill it. But if somebody else, I'm going to tell you this story. My friends laughed at me because I had some type of gecko in my house. Right, exactly. Some type of
lizard. The lizard?
Yes, the lizard. And he was on my stairs, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, one, how did he get in here? Two, did he bring a friend? You know, so I literally stood there on my phone with a broom because I called my cousin's husband. See, to me, that I had to wait on him to get there to get it out of the house. I couldn't let him go nowhere because I knew I wasn't going to do nothing with him. I wasn't going to pick him up and be like, oh, just sweep him out. Mm-mm. I stood there with that broom. If he moved, I moved. I made sure he didn't go nowhere. And once he came in the house, he picked him up. He took him. Now, I felt bad that he had to drive all the way from Decatur to do that, but it is. But that's a man's job to me. I offered him something to eat. That's a woman's job. I made something to eat in the kitchen. You hungry? You thirsty? But that to me is a certain type of things. And I think in society, those lines have been crossed over because, you know, Mr. Mom, it's okay now, and all these women out here working hard, and he at home, it's like, I don't know. But you tell me. Maybe I'm wrong to be old school.
I'm not going to say you're wrong, because I will get out. I ride motorcycles. Me and my husband ride motorcycles, and we get out in the garage, and I help him put on lights. And, you know, I get dirty. I get nitty-gritty. We do a lot of stuff. And we have a lot of women callers, and a few of them are just listening. So I want to click on them because I want to hear from the men. But I do want to read something from Huffington Post. And it says, in the society that we grew up in, we have been told by our parents that men need to be strong, that the man is the provider of the family. Men don't cry. If they don't feel pain, they cry from the inside. They're not supposed to show this. They said the research conducted with young people from Restless Development in rural states found that there is a great deal of pressure on young men to live up to certain standards when in regards to manhood. What is perhaps less clear is how such understandings are linked to the gender of inequality and the high prevalence of gender-based violence in our society. What do you think about that, Ayana?
I do think men have pressure. I do. I think they are pressured to be at a certain level, and that's understood, but I think that's just the world we live in. Like, it's hard to say, and I get it, and you do these statistics and all these stats and this and that, but I don't want to do no heavy lifting. I don't want to do heavy lifting. I want to leave that to the man to do heavy lifting, and then when he's done lifting the heavy stuff, I'm going to make something to eat, and then I'm going to offer him some water or something, wash some clothes. I mean, those are the type of things that, as a woman, I don't want to step into a man's world. I believe in letting a man be a man. And I think that that's where a lot of the issues, like the callers were saying, from communications and in relationships and things like that, I think that that's where we've had a lot of issues, because we don't know, we as women don't know how to let men be men. And then I think men or young boys aren't being really taught how to be men.
I agree. I'm going to bring one of the callers back on that was on earlier. Caller with the last four digits of 3549. Good evening, caller. You have something else you want to say tonight?
Hello?
Hello?
Am I on?
Hi, caller. Do you have anything else you want to add to the show?
Yeah, I'll listen I totally agree with everything that's been said. I just think that, you know, speaking from a man's point of view, me personally, I've been taught over the years to hold it in, to not show emotions, to not, you know, wear your heart on your sleeve kind of thing. But and at the end of the day, I think it was bad training, because in a relationship you have to, you know, communicate. And sometimes you communicate, me personally, I communicate with, you know, just the way I was taught, which sometimes may be wrong. So I think that moving forward, I think men just need to open up a little bit more as far as, you know, how to communicate with a woman. With that being said, I think that women need to accept the fact that men were raised and taught this way, even though it's wrong, but that's how society had created this cycle, you know. So
Carl, I have a question for you.
I'm listening.
So
all right.
I'm gonna ask, I don't mean to get personal, but did you have your father in your life?
I had my stepfather in my life.
Okay.
My father passed away at an early age. Even before that, I really didn't know who he was, because he was outside the house. But my stepfather stepped in a sense. On the real, I had a lot of resentment towards him because of the fact that he wasn't my dad. You know, and looking at on the outside, looking in right now, it wasn't the fact that he wasn't my dad, because he did an awesome job at being my dad. It was the fact that the only woman that I loved at that time, he was with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So my anger wasn't with him. It was the fact that he was with my mother. You know what I'm saying? I think that,
okay,
you know, a lot of people may get caught up in that. You know, sometimes where when I wanted him to do certain things that I enjoy doing, he wouldn't step in and do it. So that increased the anger. You feel what I'm saying?
It increased internal. But were you, let me ask you this, were you angry because you didn't know how to express those emotions?
I was more angry that he didn't express his emotion.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
I was more angry because he didn't gravitate towards me.
Okay.
And the craziest thing about it is when he passed away himself about 7 years ago, and literally when we was putting him in the ground is when I really felt like, man, this dude really loved me. You feel what I'm saying? But it was too late to tell him that I really love him too. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's one of the things that, you know, now I try to, you know, express myself a little bit more, because sometimes it may be late, a little too late to express it. So let them know now, you know what I mean?
Right, and that is the only, and I'm going to just give you this bit of advice, because I also lost my dad too. But the one thing I know is time is the most precious jewel we have, but it seems like you know that now.
Right.
But thank you for calling in, caller. We're going to go ahead to the next caller.
I want to, before I let this caller go, I want to read a second part of this Huffington Post, and I want to kind of get his take on it. It says, the pressure on a man to be financial providers in relationships and families can also lead to situations of frustration. Facing the realities of poverty, unemployment, and unemployment, many young men experience feelings of disempowerment and not being able to provide. It says that they start to feel useless, like they cannot fulfill their role as a man. Some turn to violence. When you get frustrated, they get stressed, and then they can be very abusive emotionally. Do you agree with that? Well, I'm asking these questions, and I'm reading these statements, this research that we've looked up, because we're really trying to get an understanding and give men a platform, because maybe there's a man out there that's listening to the show online and hasn't called in, but I just want to get a man's take. So I want to.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I agree with that, because this is what I think. All right, it comes down to planning, right? Since most men, majority of the men, grew up without a father, so we really can't plan on how to do it. But women. Plan. They have a plan. Their plan is they've been raised. Okay, I wanna start a family. I wanna raise kids. I wanna have a good job. So that they plan their life, and they plan their life towards that. But men, we go off impulse, you know, because we didn't have nobody to teach us how to plan. So we just pretty much be freelancing and going off to another situation. If a situation happens, I'm ready for it. If this situation happens, I'm ready for it. So, I mean, that's why, I mean, something I just thought about just the other day was, in a business world, you know, I'm a business major, so when I was going through my training and teaching, they always said, plan your day out, so you know what you're going to expect for tomorrow. Well, that's what women were trained to do. They were trained to plan their life out. Well, men, we wasn't trained that way. We just pretty much just, you know, get up in the morning, go to school, come back home, hit the corner. Get up in the morning, go to school, come back home, hit the corner. That was our planning.
Yeah, I never really looked at it from that perspective, but that's interesting. Yeah, I was told you need to go to college, you know, you need to get you a degree, get you an education. But that's interesting that maybe we're not telling younger men that. Like, I make sure I tell my nephew that is what he has to do. If he's going to college.
Right. So no, I think that's a big part of it. The planning, because if planning is preparing, and once you prepare, it's like once you get there, you've already seen it because you prepared up until the time you got there. I listened to the caller before, and he was talking about as far as, you know, getting out of jail, and you're going to hang with the same people, or you're going to try something different. You know what I'm saying? But men are afraid, in a sense, to try something different, in a sense, because we're afraid of the unknown, if that makes sense. You know, so the biggest part to me is, I think it is just planning your life. If you see it and you speak it and you do it, by the time you get there, it's already complete.
Wow. Well, thank you, caller, so much for your input. You have enlightened us on a few different issues tonight. I hope you continue to listen. Show, we still have 15 minutes. Thank you again for calling in and sharing your story. We really appreciate it. I'm going to put you back on cue.
All right.
Before I go to another caller, I just want to let everybody know that our sponsor, Digital Guard, will now be selling women's self-defense products. Yes, so they have the brass knuckles, the mace, the, you know, all that good stuff that women need in order to protect themselves. Digital Guard will be selling them soon.
Oh, well, you know, that's good to know, but I got a license to carry, but okay. just want to let you know.
I'm not quite sure if they're going to be selling firearms, but I know they have those good tasers, all that good mace, you know, they bring that back. The brass knuckles, the little keychains that you could stick somebody with, you know, you might not always have time to pull, so you might have to stick. So Digital Guard, shout out to you for trying to help us women protect ourselves. I'm going to pull caller with the last four of 5996 back on the phone. I want to hear his take on what I read from the Huffington Post. Good afternoon, caller. I read some statistics from the Huffington Post. Let me know what your take is on those.
Okay, you read a lot. which ones? You read a lot.
Well, let's start with the one about how society has told the men that they need to be strong, that they need to be a provider of the family, that they're not supposed to cry unless they are actually feeling pain, physical pain, that they should be crying from the inside, you know, in ways that they deal with pressure, and sometimes it turns violent.
Okay. Now, I agree with all of it except for the last part where it says it turns violent. I think the caller before me gave a good perspective on that. I just don't agree with it. Now, when a true man is not able to provide for his family, he feels like a failure. And so with him feeling like a failure, one of the things that helps out, once again, is the woman he's in relationship with. See, that woman can take a man who's not because he's trifling, not because he's not trying, but maybe some misfortune happened and he lost his job or he's not making enough money to support his family the way the family needs to be supported. That woman relieves some of the pressure or she adds to the pressure. A lot of times,
interesting.
I think about myself. Well, you know, when I think about myself, really, I could care less what society says about me, because when I put my key in my door and I come home, I'm more concerned about the woman who I'm in relationship, how she feels. If she tells me, hey, it's going to be all right, it's her and I against the world. I could care less about society. So I do agree that when a man can't provide for his family, he feels like a failure. But when he comes home, he should still feel like a king. Even if they, you know, and I'm talking about a man who's trying his hardest. So the other caller was right. We have to re-educate our men. We have to re-educate. So I spend a lot of time now telling my sons. I have a 10-year-old, and I have two twin sons. They're 22. But I spend a lot of time now telling them that I love them. And they are required to tell me that they love me back, because that's a requirement. That's an expectation. Love is reciprocal. When you put love out, it should be reciprocated, and it should come back to you. So I think, but when other people hear me say that, they wonder whether or not I'm gay. And I don't knock the gay community or anything like that, but that's just not
true. No,
why is it that when a man expresses his love to another man who happens to be his son or his friend or his buddy, man, love you, man, why does that have to be perceived in a negative way? That's society once again. So I do agree with the original caller. We must re-educate our young men. And teach them how to express themselves, both physically and emotionally.
But let me ask you this, caller. How did you get to that point? Because I think that's what we're missing is that gap on getting to the point to where you're saying in the relationship, the woman that you with, she should make you feel like a king. Well, my question to you is, at what point did you turn the corner? Did you always not care about what society said, or were you just raised that way? Because I think there's a gap that we're missing in the rites of passage of men, that they don't get to the point to where you are now, to the understanding that you are now.
Well, okay, so I'm speaking from the married perspective. When I was single, I could get two hoots. Now, I could get two hoots about what anyone ever thought about me. But now, when we say that in our day and time now, it's different. Now, when people say that today, I don't care what people think about me, it's 9 times out of 10 when they're doing the wrong thing. I'm not talking about that instance. I came to this point when, as you grow in life, as you get older, you should grow. If you're in the same mindset you were when you were 21 and you're now 41, you have a problem. So I think that in the process of time, as men get older, they begin to grow. Now, what I had to do is I had to get around people who had more knowledge than me. That's one. And then I had to get around people who had more than me, materialistic. I had to get around people who had more education than me. When I first met my wife, I only had a high school education. It was due to her love and support. I now have 4 degrees. And we've only been married 12 years.
How long have you been married?
12 years. We've been married 12 years. And I got my last degree maybe 4 years ago. So within 8 years of being married to a person who supports you through your up and your down, forget about society. There were times when my wife went against her family for me, times when I went against my family for her. So when two people have one another's back, it doesn't matter what kind of problems you have, it's that love and support for one another that builds you up.
Okay, so before you and your wife got together, before y'all started dating, and I'm looking at your entire number, and I see that you're calling from the Chicago area. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and so with that being said, Chicago has a lot of things going on up there. They stay on the news. Coming from a woman, I'm from the Midwest, so I'm from Indiana, so we're like touching. Yeah, our brother, sister state, whatever you want to call it. So before you got married and before you found that special someone, did you find yourself being in a place where society put you in a bucket, regardless of what you tried to do, how you try to do anything different? But because of the environment, the community, things that were going on in around you, did you find yourself, like, you know, with that high school diploma, trying to figure out a way of life as a man, how to make things better for you?
Okay, so let's go back. Everything that I did in life, I did voluntarily. No one made society. No one. I'm a little bit different. No one ever made me do it. When I sold drugs and was one of the most recognized drug dealers on the south side of Chicago, I did that because I wanted to. That was my goal. When I graduated high school, I told my division teacher, I'd be one of the most recognized drug dealers on the south side of Chicago. That wasn't society. That was a choice that I made. I turned my life around when my best friend got killed on my front porch. Now, when my best friend got killed on my front porch, I left all the gangs and left all the drugs alone, and I went and got on food stamps. Now, I still had money, but I had to leave it alone because if I kept going back to what I had, I would get back into that old life. And I went and got on food stamps. From there, I took a job with a high school diploma that paid me $5.68 an hour. I worked that job, got another job, $10 an hour, then $20 an hour. Then I started making big money, $70,000 and $80,000 a year legally. But it was the drive in me. I stayed in the same community that I sold drugs in. I didn't move out, but I didn't hang with the same people. I changed my friends, even in my environment. So there's an old saying, you can take the person out the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the person. I don't believe that. I believe you can take the ghetto out the person, and they can stay in the ghetto and still straighten out their lives.
Well, what I took from that call is that it was an internal thing in you to change your circumstances. So we want to thank you again for calling in. We're going to put you back in the queue, and we hope you continue listening.
Gotcha.
Good evening. We have a few minutes. I see another caller popped up. I'm not quite sure if this is a male or a female, but let's check. Caller with the last four digits of 3079. Good evening, caller. Do you have an issue you want to discuss?
No, it's Tamiko. I'm calling to listen in.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling and listening. Okay, Ayanna, we have like a little less than 4 minutes, a little less than 5 minutes left on this show, and we have gone over a lot, and we've heard a lot, and I think tonight's show was awesome.
I think it was great. I think from a woman's perspective, we learned a lot. First of all, we learned that men do express their emotions, but there are some men that were never really taught how to express their emotions. I think we learned from the last caller about being in certain circumstances, and it has to be a will within yourself to change those circumstances. What I basically learned tonight in this whole conversation about men and their issues, men have the same issues that women have. We don't know how to express what we want, express how we feel. Men are the same way. Some women haven't really been taught to be women, how to be respectful of other women. It's the same thing with men. The caller said men don't, they haven't been taught how to be respectful of other men. So I think what we learned overall in this conversation is men and women have the same problems. They all need help. This is my personal opinion, but, you know, you tell me.
You're absolutely correct. We all have the same issues. I think as a woman, we just need to learn how to gauge, like tune in with the men and start recognizing when they're actually going through something and being a little bit more appreciative of their emotional side versus, you know, looking at them like, okay, he's a man. He knows how to deal with it. He should just deal with it. Just tune in. Hey, I understand you're not the same today. You don't look like you had a good day. Let's talk about it. What can I do to make your day better? Because now, listening to the callers, I know they got some things going on the inside. And as women, you know, I don't want to say have that motherly instinct, but we are the nurturers. And maybe we can do a little bit better as women in order to help the men deal with their emotions.
Right. And I think what we know about women being natural nurturers, I think men are natural problem solvers. I think that's where they're at. So like he said, when he didn't have money, he had to figure out how to make money. Legally or illegally, his goal was to make some money, whether he was taking care of his family or anything. But I think what we really learned from what you're saying is that as women, we need to support men in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We can't look at them as being broken, and we can't deal with them. Like the caller said, he had a high school education. He met his wife, and now he has 4 degrees. I mean, I'm not into changing a man, but if that's what I'm going to change you into, I think I could take that. That's acceptable. That's acceptable.
I agree. I don't think it's changing. I think it's helping them evolve into the man that they were destined to be in the beginning before they met us. Whatever their potential is helping them to reach that potential. Tonight, we had a very good show. We talked about men issues. We allowed the men to speak about their emotional sides, about how they feel, the issues that they dealt with, that they've overcome. Next week, everybody, we will be going live in the new studio, and we're going to be talking about side chicks. What qualifies somebody as a side chick?
And when did that become an acceptable title? Like, seriously.
It's not. But we're going to talk about it. And I want to talk about it because I saw on one of those reality TV shows the other day, these ladies stood up on national TV and bragged about how they were side chicks and how they deal with married men and all that. So I want to know, when did being a side chick become so great? Why is it so great? And what is it about you that a man wants to have you on the side? We're going to talk about this And next week, you'll be able to tune in live on Facebook with me and Ayana. So make sure you like our page. And Ayana Mohammed, I'm going to end tonight with a word from our sponsor. Thank you all for your support. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.